As a reminder, keep Howard Bobby in your prayers in regards to Howard's health. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharpening a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, it's critical of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study, show yourself approved unto God, a workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We continue in our studies this evening in Genesis chapter 37, where we will now pick up with the exegesis of verses 12 through 17. All right, all the distractions going on in Satan's world around us is not of any big import in regards to God's plan, other than it is just another step in fulfillment of God's plan. These things right now are not to be a concern for us. Right now, what we are to be concerned with is regards to assimilation, the truth of Bible doctrine. It's through Bible doctrine that we're able to keep our minds straight, our thinking straight, our emotions stable, and not fall into the pitfalls that much of the world will fall into in situations that we're facing today in this regards. And in this way, we are encouraged. It's an hour we can get away from the world, be in fellowship, commune with God. And in this fashion, we're able to advance ourselves spiritually, glorify God, and be prepared to step out and face the world again after Bible class. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with the normal word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the protection that you provide those who are yours, your children, positive volition in this vein, that you will provide for us all that is necessary for us to fulfill your plan for our lives in spite of what Satan's world may throw at us otherwise. We ask that you continue to bless us in instruction and guidance by example and otherwise with respect to the teaching this evening for our own edification and advancement in regards to our lives before you, and that we can ultimately glorify you and our Lord Savior Jesus Christ to the maximum in this vein, all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So any other time, are you thankful that you're a small group? Yeah. Over 100, not supposed to get together anymore. So God has his purposes and plans for certain things. It's amazing how he keeps it all intact and keeps things going otherwise in that respect. All right, Joseph here in our text has related two dreams to his brothers. The second dream also addressing his father. The dreams are taken with an attitude of derision and disbelief. On Jacob's part, which is important to truly dissect the illustration examples here that's going on. He rejects the interpretation of the dream. He doesn't necessarily reject it as not having some doctrinal forbearance, as is stated that while the brothers became jealous in their rejection and totally rejecting it, Jacob guarded it. And it shows and it illustrates the principle that even with a mature believer, even as a mature believer, to take issue with a clear interpretation in regards to Scripture, and even simply because one may not comprehend how this is can be possible, is a false step and can be detrimental, as we will see in regards to the example of Jacob, in assessing, diagnosing tests in our life, where the very doctrine, if you just believed it at face value, would be beneficial to help you overcome the test. and to pass the test. So that's important to keep in mind as we continue to go through these verses dealing with these believers, this believer family. They're all believers. Jacob's family shows that believers can be just as big idiots as their counterpart unbelievers can in regards to their actions under STAs. But they all remain to be believers. They all remain intact in regards to the Abrahamic covenant. Do inherit in their fashion of blessing in regards to the real estate clause and the personnel clause of the Abrahamic covenant otherwise. And so these two dreams now have been communicated to the family. And here we get to verses 12 through 17. And on the surface, it looks like we're back to business as usual in the household. I titled these verses, Joseph is sent to check on his brothers. So looking at verse 12, the Hebrew, then his brothers went to pasture or shepherd their father's flock in Shechem. Well, consecutive, calon, perfect, third, masculine, plural, halak, translated went, literally walk, H-A-L-A-K, the basic mode of transportation in this era of history. His brothers is the common masculine plural noun, construct, third masculine singular, suffix ach, A-C-H. To pasture or to shepherd is the preposition lamed. With the cal infinitive here, it's an infinitive of purpose, a purpose to do this. Construct of our verb to shepherd or pasture, ra'a, R-A-A-H. The flock of their father, literally sign of direct object, are now for flock or sheep, hence a flock is in view as a common both singular construct noun, tison, T-S-O-N. Father is your common masculine singular constructor, masculine plural suffix ab, A-B. In Shechem is the location that they picked for their shepherding at this point. These large herds, they would move them around in different locations where they felt the fodder was sufficient to keep them healthy. And here we're back in Shechem. So 13, and Israel said to Joseph, all right, that's what the brothers have determined to do. Now Israel makes a determination. And Israel said to Joseph, straightforward, while consecutive, to say is your verb amar, A-M-A-R here, calon perfect, third masculine singular. Israel, his God-given mature name, is utilized to Joseph. He confronts him face-to-face here, seen by our preposition L, E-L, Joseph, proper noun. And then he asks him, he tells and asks at the same time in regards to Joseph. He goes, first, are not your brothers pasturing the flock in Shechem? It's a rhetorical question, obviously. You have the interrogative particle ha here. An affirmative answer is expected. Then you have negative particle lo, L-O. Hence, are not, question mark. Brothers, ach, A-C-H, repeated here with the second masculine singular suffix. Pasturing is, again, your verb ra'a here as a cal participle, which denotes a continuous action. It insinuates a determined place to stay for the time. Here, masculine plural, ra'a, in Shechem. That's the preposition bet with the proper noun Shechem. And then the instructions here, or request, command request and instruction given to Joseph to dissect this out. First, you have the cal imperative. Ashton Singer, our verb translated come. Hensley, halak is literally walk. Here it has the idea of prepare to travel. This is issued as, if you will, an imperative or a command. Then wow conjunction, and then the verbal phrase I will send is the cal imperfect first common singular here as a cohortative force, which is less than a command, and it's more of a request, with the second masculine suffix to for our verb to send is shalach, S-H-A-L-A-C-H, and let me send you, literally. To then, preposition L with the third masculine plural suffix. And Joseph responds, I will go, while consecutive. He said, Amar, cal imperfect third masculine singular, to him, to Israel, Joseph to Israel, preposition Lamed here, third masculine singular suffix. Then you had the interjectory particle, henna with the first common singular suffix, behold me, or here I am, his willingness to obey his father, H-I-N-N-E-H. And in verse 14, Israel continues to give Joseph instructions. Then he said to him, go now and see about the welfare of your brothers and the welfare of the flock. Wow, consecutive. Cal, perfect third masculine singular, and he said, Amar, to him, preposition Lamed, with the third masculine singular suffix. Again, our verb go is our verb halak, walk, as an imperative. Cal, imperative, masculine singular. Here, now we have a series of imperatives here. Now is the interjectory particle na, N-A. Go now. And see, literally go now to see. You had the cal imperative masculine singular of the verb ra'ah, or see to. Go now, see to the welfare, R-A-A-H. Sign of direct object, our noun welfare in the Hebrew is a common masculine singular struct. Our verb for peace, shalom, S-H-A-L-O-M. The welfare of or, your brothers, again, ach, A-C-H, with the common masculine plural construct, second masculine singular suffix. And, while conjunction, sign direct object follows, then shalom repeated, the welfare of the flock. Again, definite article and our noun tison, T-S-O. In common both singer absolute. Takes both genders, that word does. And bring word back to me. Another imperative, wow conjunction here with the hifil imperative, masculine singer, a verb to return or bring back, as it might be, shuv, S-H-U-B, and cause to return to me. And then our noun for word, to bring word back to me, the matter at hand, how it's assessed, a report on how it's assessed. Common masculine singular absolute, davar, E-A-V-A-R. So he sent him from the valley of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. Well, consecutive, again, our verb to send here is a cal imperfect third masculine singular with the third masculine singular suffix, shalach, S-H-A-L-A-C-H. And so he sent him from our point of origination is the valley of Hebron, preposition men, M-I-N. Then our noun for valley, common masculine singular construct, emek, E-M-E-Q. Proper noun Hebron. And his destination, he came to Shechem, where the brothers supposedly had gone, while consecutive. Came to is your cal imperfect third masculine singular verb bo, B-O, Shechem, proper noun. And then entered a mystery man, verse 15. And a man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, "What are you looking for?" Well, consecutive, Calvin, perfect third masculine singer with the third masculine singer suffix, our verb to find, matsa. He found him, M-A-T-S-A. Leaves the impression that the man was obviously previously looking to find him. I mean, he could have just stumbled on him and found him that way, but the verb has the sense of searching for something and finding it. Who found him was a man or a common masculine singer, absolute noun, ish, I-S-H. And behold, draws attention, obviously, to the situation. Wow, conjunction, interjectory particle, henna, repeated again, H-I-N-N-E-H. Our verb, wondering, he was wondering, is a cow participle, masculine singer, absolute, tha-a, T-H. A-A-H. Saw this verb back in chapter 20, verse 13, 21, verse 14. It doesn't mean he was lost. It means he was walking around. Obviously, he's trying to track, see what's going on. So, anyway. He was wondering, in the field, preposition bet, definite article, or noun for field, common masculine singular absolute, sadeh, S-A-D-E-H. And the man asked him, well, consecutive, a verb to ask. Here's the cow, perfect third masculine singer with the third masculine singer suffix, sha'al, S-H-A-A-L. He inquired of him, made inquiry, the man. Definite article, now with our noun for man, ish, versus just a man, now it's the man. And the man asked him, ish, while saying, he inquired with the following words, is the idea here in the Hebrew. Preposition long with a cal infinitive construct, amar, while saying. What is your interrogative particle ma, M-A-H? Here expecting obviously a direct answer. Are you seeking? Finding and seeking. The PL, imperfect second masculine singular, the verb, looking for, translated literally seeking, bakash, B-A-Q-A-S-H. Verse 16, and he, Joseph, said, straightforward, while consecutive, plus the verb amar, he said, in sign of the direct object, first in line, the object that he's looking for, my brothers, is the common masculine plural construct with the first common singular suffix ak, my brothers. I myself am seeking, literally in the Hebrew. Pronoun, first common singular, anoki, I myself, emphatic. That's his agenda at hand, A-N-O-K-I-Y. Follow with our verb to seek again, bakash, P-L participle, masculine singular, B-A-Q-A-S-H. Please tell me where they are shepherding or pasturing. You have the hipil imperative masculine singular, nagad, tell or make known, N-A-G-A-D. Please, as, as it would be here in politeness to the man, our interjectory particle na, N-A, to me, make known to me, preposition lama with the first common singular suffix. Then you had the interrogative particle where, is apo, apo, e, e y, p h o h. Where, literally, they themselves are pastoring or shepherding. You had the pronoun third masculine plural him, them, h e m. He is she. Him is them, they themselves, pasturing, cow participle, shepherding, here obviously substantival, raw. Verse 17, then the man said, they have moved from here, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And he said, again, same construct as before, while consecutive amar. Here, again, the man with the definite article, man, ish. Then they have moved as they departed, literally, as the cow, perfect third common plural, nasa, N-A-S-A. They left, they departed from this place, from here, preposition men, followed with the adjective, masculine singular, zet, Z-E-H. Then explaining how he knows, conjunction key for or because, K-I-Y. I heard is the cow perfect first common singular, shema, S-H-A-M-A-H. Them saying is the cow participle, masculine plural, the form of the verb amar, to say. Let us go to Dathan. Is our typical verb to go, walk, to walk. Cow and perfect, first common plural, cohortative here. Thought comes to mind, to move on from Shechem, is the idea that we're seeing here. Halak, H-A-L-A-K, proper noun, Dathan, D-O-T-H-A-N. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dathan. Well, consecutive, to go again is our verb to walk, halak, cow perfect, third masculine singer, Joseph, proper noun. After is your adverb akar, A-C-H-A-R. Brothers, his brothers, the noun ak, common masculine plural, construct third masculine singer suffix. And he found them. Obviously, he definitely was looking for them in this case. To support our previous force behind the word is our verb to find cow and perfect third masculine singer, third masculine plural suffix again, matsa, M-A-T-S-A, at Dathan or in Dathan, preposition bet with the proper noun. Rereading these verses. The brothers went to shepherd their father's flock in Shechem, or pasture their father's flock. And Israel said to Joseph, are not your brothers pasturing the flock in Shechem? As he knew they were. Come, so it suggests an idea, is what I'm saying. Come, prepare to travel, and let me send you to them, literally. And he said to him, here I am. Behold, I will go. This is the idea. Verse 14, and he said to him, go now and see about the welfare of your brothers and the welfare of the flock. Interesting to note that he's concerned about the sheep too. And bring word back to me. So he sent him from the valley of Hebron and he came to Shechem. Verse 15, and a man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, what are you looking for? Verse 16, and he, Joseph, said, I am looking for my brothers. Tell me where they are pasturing the flock. Verse 17, then the man said, they have moved from here, relocated. For I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. All right, let's have some fun with these verses. One, in spite of the brothers' intense jealousy towards Joseph that we ended verse 11 with. His brothers were jealous or envious, as it may be, of him. So in spite of the brothers' intense jealousy towards Joseph, it appears business as usual here. And his brothers went to pasture their father's flock in Shechem. Wahalak, ak, lamed, ra'ah, tason, ada, bet, Shechem. So two, the reader might conclude, based on just how the events is presented here, the context, the reader might conclude Jacob's rebuke of Joseph disarmed the brothers' intense hostility. leaving them here only to wallow in their self-induced misery, their jealousy, their envy, and we're back to work. All right, Dad chewing him out, that satisfied our hatred, our anger to a certain degree. Let's get back to work. The idea. That's kind of the impression that leaves you, the way that it just immediately comes in. Dad chews them out, and next thing, well, they all went out and worked. Three clues that all is not as it seems. Laces the seams of pasturing, and Israel sending of Joseph to check on his brothers. So clues that it is not all as it seems. Laces, it's embedded, threaded, if you will, through the seams of pasturing, and Israel sending of Joseph to check on his brothers. But we'll find that there's more going on than what a superficial reading in the English really relates. How often are things not as they truly seem? Things on the surface, seen through the fleshly eyes, appears one way. But there is another reality that's going on behind the scenes that one, unless they are discerning, are not particularly privy to. What better time in Bible class than to have this ideology presented an example than what we're seeing today going on in our society? Just remember that in spite of all the rhetoric of nationalism that we've got to enjoy as we're given to soothe the conservative masses that might still exist in this country, our country is in bed with the United Nations. Just remember that. The United Nations headquarters right here on American soil. If you keep sight of the big picture, you'll recognize that the rest of this is just the distractions that are going on to pave the way to a much larger agenda that's in motion in front of us today. How many times I said it's not going to get any better? But I guess God kind of validated that. If we're in bed with the United Nations, we're in bed with the World Health Organization. So draw your own conclusions. But that's the big picture. We are in the midst of nations devising a vain thing in the last days. That vain thing is the new world order. While we may be an independent country nationally, we are integrated into a new world order. I don't have to prove that, because Bush Sr. flat out stated it unabashedly when he was president of this country. The new world order. So we are integrated and intricately bound into all the other nations that's going on, that's around us in regards to the universal state of our country. Amazing. Assuming that everything is as it appears to be in regards to the virus that's going around. How many countries are involved? And obviously, we don't lose the fact that pestilence is part of the upcoming divine discipline and national discipline that nations will face with respect to their disregard and abandonment of the truth of Bible doctrine and the divine institution of nationalism in and of itself. So I could not have planned this in timing to have the same scenario in front of us that's going on with Jacob and his sons, and as it appears and presented to us in the scriptures. It's not as it all seems on the surface. With divine viewpoint, with discernment, you're able to see through the mud and see truly what's going on. So God's in control. That's my words of encouragement to you. Your words of comfort. Don't sweat it. Last time I checked the CDC statistics, over 5 months, there's something like 16 to 32 million people caught the flu in our country that were hospitalized. So that's off the CDC website. And we're only, how many, 1,000? And something like, what, they estimate 4 to 10,000 die a month from the flu. You can check it out for yourself. That's what I found on the website, off their website. So, you know, they want you to fear, and you can see the institutions that are involved in all this. But again, you draw your own conclusions. I'm just here to help us keep our minds unclouded and not let the cosmic system dictate to us what Bible doctrine otherwise tells us that's going on. And to let these things distract us, it's all designed by Satan for us to shake our faith. You know, the first thing you start seeing is the institutions that they are closing down in different states, different places, and it's schools, synagogues, and churches. I mean, I don't know, I read 4 or 5 articles straight in a row in regards to that. You go, oh, great. Maranatha, you know. But anyway. All right, I'm off my soapbox. Back to the context. Again, like I said, you draw your own conclusions. But I got the doctrine to back what I just stated. So clues that it all not, as it seems, laces the seams of pasture in Israel, sending of Joseph to check on his brothers. For now, the first impression here, contextually, of an undercurrent scheme behind all that transpires is the fact that all of Joseph's brothers, excepting Benjamin, he's not part of this. He's still too young, way too young, are joined together on the occasion. In this particular scenario, all of Joseph's brothers are lumped together, excepting Benjamin and obviously Joseph. Five, they unanimously agree to get together as a group on their own to shepherd their father's flock apart from any given instructions otherwise. That's obviously recorded to it for us. That comes about that they determine to do this on their own. Point six, the cal infinity construct form of the verb ra'ah, which is infinitive of purpose, denotes that they determine, they purpose to do this, suggests they purpose to collectively take care of the flock without outside influence. So the 10 brothers, excluding Joseph and Benjamin, collectively said, let's go herd the shepherd the flock, and we'll do it at Shechem. So seven, this in contrast to the opening scenario of chapter 37, our very chapter, that implied the brothers originally divided up the resources to take care of the vast flocks of animals. In verse 2, when Joseph is 17 years old, he has fashioned flock here simply with his brothers, or the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, and with obviously a large ranch, sheep ranch, herds, etc. You would divvy up your resources, your manpower, to take care of certain segments. So you have that contrast told us, revealed to us, already in this chapter. And now everybody is going together. Well, that should be a warning flag right there. Why are you all going together? Well, that's what Israel wants to know. So eight, otherwise conspicuously absent here, is Joseph, who himself is old enough to shepherd. He's old enough to shepherd. Why was he not included on this dispatch? So 9, now it has been suggested here that Israel no longer required Joseph to participate in menial family affairs, as symbolically suggested in the multicolored tunic. Commentators, interpreters often want to now paint Joseph as daddy's favorite, being daddy's favorite, that he doesn't do any more menial labor. He's treated special, keep him in the house, you know, doesn't really have to do much, you know, and that's how he's kind of painted. That's what you see in commentaries. I don't buy that. I don't buy that one bit. Point 10, yet he is willing to send his favorite son out in dangerous wilderness lands alone to recon the whereabouts and conditions of Jacob's sons and livestock, ? So he's treating him with kid gloves, that idea, yet he's going to turn around and send him some 63 miles through mountainous wilderness area, mountain lions, bears, tigers, whatever, you know, they have over there, not tigers, but maybe they did back then, who knows. Snakes, poisonous. No, Joseph carried his weight. There's no indication that he was given privilege in that regard. It's just people trying to come up with something that otherwise just let the language, let the context tell you what's going on. So we can see through that. That's not the real issue that's going on here. And point 11, with the advantage of knowing what the brothers are ultimately planning, we can read ahead. We know what they're planning on doing here. Killing Joseph is their immediate plan. And then the immediate context on top of it suggests a more nefarious reason that Joseph remained home. 12, that is, the brothers wanted to ensure no distrusted eyes or ears would interfere with any future discussions on how they should handle their, quote, pompous, end quote, brother. We got a problem, Houston. Front and center, we're all going out. We're going to have a discussion. Joseph is not included. It's just us brothers. What are we going to do? See, that's the idea. That's what's coming out of why they ended up all together on this particular occasion. So 13, Joseph essentially was being ostracized in retaliation for his doctrinal stance. To despise him, ostracize him, stiff-arm him, not allow his participation. Well, for what they're planning on doing, they wouldn't want him around because they want to talk about him. So 14, now suspicion as to the otherwise, quote, normal, end quote, intentions of the brothers is further expressed by Israel himself now in verse 13. See, on the one hand, you got to look at the reality. On the one hand, they want to make it look as normal as possible. They don't want to give away that they are planning to do something here. But on the other hand, in other words, they want to make it covert. But on the other hand, they have to do it in such a way that they can operate and function as a company. Together, to all be on the same page in regards to what their plan is. This plan that they're going to come up with, obviously, if all the brothers are not on the same page, that puts a big dent in the plan. See? So, suspicion as to this particular occasion of shepherding in this fashion of the brothers is further expressed now by Israel himself in verse 13. This is where it really pays to pay attention to the details in the language. Not to be overbearing in regards to the time I take. I go through all this stuff for a couple reasons. But one of the primary reasons is because I want to hear it all over once again myself. before I teach it. Or as I teach it, see. And make sure that our bases are covered. So in Israel's words here, we see further suspicion. See, it's suspicious. So 15, Moses utilizes Jacob's name here for maturity, Israel, to again defer to the sermon on Jacob's part in this matter. That's verse 3. Israel said, the rhetorical question, are not your brothers pasturing the flock in Shechem, expects an affirmative answer. He knew that that's where they went. Probably related it in some form or fashion. We're going to go take the sheep out to good grasslands back out in Shechem. And on the surface, that would seem normal because they own land out there. Ho Lachok, Ra'abet Shechem. Are not your brothers shepherding in Shechem? So 17, it is their chosen location for pasturing that arouses suspicion on Jacob's part. The very location and all of them together. Israel's no dummy. It's got him thinking. 18 is a reminder to him of what his other sons are capable of doing when so motivated by their STAs. Compare Genesis 34, Operation Shechem. We're going to Shechem. Well, that ought to recall something like assassination, pilfering, plundering by the brothers, see, as they all corporately got under their STAs with Simeon and Levi heading the charge. So, just to mention a Shechem, to Jacob, that was a low point in his life. That's not going to recall good memories or nonchalant attitudes in regards to hearing it. It was there that he obviously had everybody bury their idols, and he moved on in regards to God's plan. Why would they pick Shechem? So 19, on the brother's side of thinking, to go to Shechem should seem normal enough as they own land in that location. Chapter 33, verse 19, says that Jacob purchased a parcel of land there at Shechem, outside the formal city. So from their thinking, let's go to Shechem. Go back to Shechem. And we'll talk about this here, there. 20, no matter excuses given as to why Shechem, Israel's not buying it. Dad knows we own land there. He shouldn't think anything about this. Israel's smarter than that. Whatever problems he had his moments of discernment. 21, he then voices his concern to Joseph, then in verse 13b, come and I will send you to them. And he, Joseph, said to him, I will go. Halak wa wow shilak el wow amar lamed henna. 22, now while Israel's words employ an imperative there, come, more exact interpretation, prepared to travel is the idea. Halak, to walk. While Israel words employ an imperative in the verb to come, he further employs a lesser command of the cohortative, let me send you, shalak, to indicate the assignment is ultimately voluntary on Joseph's part. The second part is more of a request rather than just a direct, you do this. Here is, do this, and if you're on board, let me send you to Shechem, if you're willing to do this. That's the idea that's coming out here. So 23, this interpretation explains the two-part instructions given Joseph. In first here, that we're seeing in verse 13 and in verse 14. Verse 13 is basically a request of which Joseph agrees to and affirms he will do. Remember, verse 14 are the specific instructions given to him on how he wants Joseph to operate on this situation, in this particular situation. Further, it fills in the idea of distrust, suspicion, so obvious on Israel's part towards his sons. It's one of the things that comes out. He doesn't trust his boys, and he has reason not to. He should. He's seen what they're capable of doing. Yeah. So the request, he recognizes really on Joseph's part, this could be considered a hazardous duty. He knows that the rest of his sons dislike Joseph a lot. They're unhappy with the situation in the household. And to ask him to go out when they're all together is acting to go potentially in harm's way. If they went off like they did back in Operation Shechem especially. So, you know, this gives you a feel, a real feel of what's going on here. So, the interpretation I'm giving you explains the two-part instructions, and then it also fills in the gap or the idea of suspicion or distrust that is on Israel's part towards his other sons. 25, for principle, distrust is a repercussion for those that abandon application of Bible doctrine for their own STA agendas. People violate doctrine while others may, all right, understand why. No, it's the STA, etc. But over time, that kind of activity can make you a little gun-shy, to put it mildly, in regards to the individuals that violates doctrine, if you will, in whatever area that may be of concern. If you're not willing to apply doctrine, then you shouldn't jump at somebody because they don't trust you to make application in the area that you're not willing to apply. That's part of the repercussions. There is a, as we have dealt with in regards to Israel and Joseph, this bond between them in regards to Joseph's integrity and how his father otherwise trusted him immensely. But with the rest of his brothers, that is not the case. And that's judgment upon them. For one to be suspicious because people won't control their SCAs in certain areas of their life. And others close to them that it may have direct impact may wonder. See. All right, 26. Now Joseph does not hesitate, confirms he will follow his father's wishes. Typical Joseph. 27. It is naive for the reader to think that both Israel and Joseph are not fully aware of the animosity held by sons and brothers. Again, these kind of points come out because I do look at commentaries or review commentaries. I make sure my thinking is not totally out in left field. And so many of them, it's so superficial that they just kind of gloss over all this. There was really no mal intent by the brothers going out here to shepherd their sheep. And dad is just taking care of business as usual. You know, And Joseph, the wonder boy, he's at home because he doesn't have to do anything. I'll just send him. That's almost the impression you get from some commentaries. No, they're very much aware of this household, of the feelings towards one another. The brothers can't talk civilly to him. Come running to daddy. Get daddy to chew him out. You know, the whole works. So 28, that Joseph now is not reticent to carry out the details again, marquees Joseph's spiritual courage and ability to face threats in the face of potential hostility or danger. He, in his own right, is walking into the lion's den here. See, of course, he doesn't know that. And that's how Joseph is almost immediately characterized that we saw back in 33:7 when the family went to meet his uncle Esau, what everybody thought, that he may be out to kill his dad Jacob. They all hesitantly, as it pictured, walked up to Esau, except for Joseph. It shows him leaving his mom to go see Esau. I'm going to go see this Uncle Esau. See this guy, you know, at a very young age. So, you know, what else was going on at that age, and when it's thinking, who knows? But the picture, that's worth 1,000 words. And it definitely characterizes Joseph. I mean, everything that we will see him walk into, the stamina, the courage that this man exuded in regards to his life as a believer, is of the highest caliber. So 29, now in verse 14, Israel gives specific instruction on how Joseph was to handle the situation. Go now and see about the welfare of your brothers and the welfare of the flock, and bring word back to me. Halak na ra shalom akwa shalom ha tsasom wa shud davar. So 30, the instructions here employ three imperatives for Joseph to follow as tactical advice by his father. First one is A, go, that is, travel to where his brothers are supposed to be. B, C, observe the situation at hand. C, bring back, return with a report. It's really a reconnaissance mission, basically. It leaves Joseph to his own discernment if he wants to make himself known to them or just simply go in and observe this thing. See? These little tidbits that you pick up here. See, this is what fills in the blanks for us. So 31, now the English welfare, English word translated welfare in quotes, is the Hebrew shalom, which is peace, and is used here to indicate a hopeful absence of strife or conflict. It's his desire, his wish that, you know, nothing bad's going on, that everything's all right. And 32, it is interesting to note here Jacob's concern for the well-being of the animals. Considering Simeon and Levi's past history, Genesis 49:6, whereas under the Operation Shechem, they went in and were slicing the legs of animals on their way out of Shechem, just out of meanness. So I thought that was an interesting little piece of additional information. Check on the animals too, would you? If they're under their STAs, no telling what these jackasses will do. You know, that's the idea. All right, well, we'll pick this up Thursday. It is Tuesday, isn't it? Okay. Father, again, thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God the Holy Spirit to utilize these things in Jesus' name. Amen.